Gospel of Luke, chapter number 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 13. Appreciate that lesson that brother gave us up in the prayer room a while ago. That was good stuff. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 13. And verse number 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift her up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox on his or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. With the help of God, I want to preach a little while tonight on the subject, spiritual back problems. Most of us in here know something about physical back problems. And this woman that we're reading about tonight's got a very serious problem with her back. She's all bowed over for 18 long years. You probably know people tonight that are on disability because of their back. They cannot work anymore. When you bear a load, you do it in your back. You cannot carry heavy things. You got to be careful how you bend over. There's been several times I pulled a muscle in my back, and it took over a week for it to heal up. I had to be real careful how I walked, how I bent. And it's very painful, and it can hinder you from doing a whole lot of things that you want to do. Matter of fact, there's people tonight that's got bolts and rods in their back. Very serious back problems. And it's bad when you got a back problem like that, physically. But it's also bad when you got spiritual back problems. And I'd like to just take this little story tonight, this woman, and give you a few thoughts on spiritual back problems. Well, first of all, we find the word backsliding in the Bible. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that a backslider is filled with his own ways. I believe it's Proverbs. A backslider is filled with his own ways. His own ways. And do you know anybody, you sing in the choir and used to shout and they're no longer in church? Do you know any preacher that used to stand in the pulpit and preach with the power of God in his life? Now he's out. He went back to his old ways. I know some preachers that used to pastor and build a great work, and now they are not even in church. Hey, I want to say it's dangerous to backslide. It can happen to anybody. Some of these men mess their testimony up so bad they'll never get it back. They are damaged. You can get your peace back. You can get your joy back. It's hard to get your testimony and your influence back after you backslide on the Lord. And by the way, you don't have to go out and rob a bank or get drunk to backslide on the Lord. There's people that sit in a Bible preaching church sometimes, sitting on a pew, that get cold on God, and they are backslid. Right. And I tell you, when we get like that, we are good for nothing. I think of that story over in Jeremiah chapter number 13 where God told Jeremiah the prophet to take a girdle and put it on and wear it for certain days. And Jeremiah wore that girdle for a while. And God spoke to him and said, Jeremiah, take that girdle off and take it down to the Euphrates River and bury it there under a rock by the river and return to Jerusalem. And Jeremiah returned home. After many days, the Bible said that God spoke to Jeremiah the prophet and said, you go back down there and dig that girdle out from under that rock. And Jeremiah went back down there and dug that old girdle up. And the Bible said it was marred. It was good for nothing. The elements of this world had taken effect upon that girdle until it was rotten and good for nothing. And when a Christian gets backslid, he's good for nothing. If the salt has lost its savior, it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. I tell you, our life influences other people. We can become a stumbling block. We got to be real careful we don't yield to some temptation and mess ourselves up. We better be careful we don't get kind of slack on serving God. When this virus hit several years ago, 2.5 years ago, I had people in my church that were faithful. I'm talking, they come on Wednesday night. And when they shut the churches down 2.5 years ago, some of them stayed home. They were afraid to come back, they said. And of course, they wouldn't let us in church for a little while. I cannot get them back in church now. I believe some of those people are saved. They just got used to getting out. It can happen to you. It can happen to me if we're not careful. We better be faithful to the house of God. I tell you, no man lives under himself and no man dies under himself. And I tell you, it's a bad influence on those lost people. And if we are out of church, they're going to wonder what kind of Christian we really are. I know some people that have served God for many years that are backslidden now. I've seen men and women get out of church and take their family with them. Kids. I've seen mom and dad come back, but the kids did not come with them. They can't get them back in church now because they got them out for so long until they got used to it, and they cannot get them back in church now. We got to be real careful we don't backslide. Some of those people, though, they won't come back to church. And they'll send me word, and I've even run into them before. Out in Walmart, the grocery store. They'll go to work. But for some reason, they say, I'm afraid of catching that stuff off the church. But they're not afraid to catch it out there at the steakhouse. That don't make sense. One fella called me just a few weeks ago, and he said, Preacher, I know you missed me over there, and I'm afraid to come back. The doctor told me if I caught that stuff, I'm going to die. I'm in bad health, and I'm afraid of catching it over at the church. And he told me not to be in a crowd. Just the other day, I went to the steakhouse. And guess who I run into? I ran into that fellow. He's a pretty good-sized boy, too. He had a plate about that big. And I just pecked him on the shoulder, and he turned around and looked like he saw a ghost. And he went, I said, you better watch it. You'll catch that stuff in here, boy. We do what we want to do, really. Whatever's in our heart, Nehemiah said to those men, God has put this in my heart to rebuild those walls. And when God puts something in your heart, you're going to do it. You can't get out of it. Oh, my friend, backsliding. Old King David got out of the will of God. You see what happened to him. He lost his joy. Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. You can't stand up and testify with a good power of God on you when you're backslid. You can't enjoy singing for the Lord when your joy has disappeared because of sin. Sin will rob you of your joy, your peace. And Nathan told him, you've given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. Boy, it's a bad influence. This woman right here has got a serious back problem. She's going to get some help. You know why? She's in the right place at the right time. Hey, she's over at the temple. If anybody had an excuse not to go to church, it was her. How many of us would try to go to church? I was watching this man limp into the church tonight on crutches, upstairs in prayer room. This woman's all been over, and she's probably up in age, but she's faithful to the temple. There's a lot of people wouldn't go if they were like that. But thank God she's in the right place to get some good help. You better thank God for your church. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go down to the house of the Lord. He was glad to get down there. I found out if you'll go to church, even when you feel bad, if you can make it, God will make you feel better down there. I went to church with a headache before, and so help me, when I got up to preach, it disappeared. God will help you physically. I've walked into church before, and I was discouraged. I'll be honest, I've been discouraged before. Didn't feel like going. Didn't feel like preaching. Somebody get up, get to singing like that choir was singing a while ago, and I got to feeling better. I was sitting there, sing two or three. I got to wanting to preach so bad, I said, just hush and let me preach. God's Holy Spirit will help you. The church prays for you. The church will stick with you. Listen, if I did not have the church helping me, I don't know where I'd be tonight. I was going to preach on When Your Day Comes. But I was preaching this tonight. The Bible said there came a day when Job, you know, saw all this calamity coming upon him. There was a day. That little woman over the Old Testament, little child that died on her lap. The Bible said there came a day. Everybody in this church is probably going to have a day when something bad is going to happen. Your day may not be just exactly like Job's or that little lady. May not be like hers. It might be different. But everybody that's going to have a day, I guarantee you, you might have already had one. This brother was testifying in the prayer room a while ago about his mom passing away. She must have been a dear lady. That was a day. We're all going to face a day. I had a couple that's come to my church, and the mom couldn't find her 13-year-old boy one morning. And she looked everywhere. She went down in the basement, and she found that 13-year-old boy hanging by his neck. They did not see anything coming, acted just happy as he always did. And I've often thought, what a day. I tried to help him while I was preaching the funeral. Don't blame yourself. You brought him to church. You sent him to Christian school. I watched them how they loved those children. Had several kids, girls, a couple more boys. But I thought, how did it feel when she found that 13-year-old boy hanging by her neck? But they kept coming to church. They kept coming to church. Hey, we can't make it without God's prayers. It's been 4 years ago in June, and some of you may have heard about my oldest son. I probably won't get this message preached tonight. I drove home one Wednesday evening, getting ready to come to church, and the road up to my house, I saw five white deputy police cars, five. I drove on up to my house, and there was two more in my driveway. That's seven of them. I saw police officers in the yard with weapons. Channel 9 News was up with the camera pointing toward my house. And I thought, what in the world is going on? A SWAT team had went into my home while I was not there with weapons drawn, looking for my oldest son. And I got out, and the lead detective asked me to get in the car with him. And I said, what has my boy done? I said, it's got to be bad. He said, I won't tell you now, but when they get through searching your house, he said, I will write on a piece of paper and type it out what you need to know about your boy. Do you know where he's at? And I said, I do not. All I know is he's at the beach. He said, do you have a phone number, a cell phone number? I can trace where he's at. So I give him the cell phone number. So when they got through, I went to the kitchen and picked that paper up. And my day came. My boy had murdered somebody. He's in prison tonight with 20 years to build. Raised in church all of his life. Went to Christian school. Sung the youth choir at the old church I pastored. Sung the youth choir at the church I pastor now. Dating a girl out of one of the churches right here in the county. Beautiful girl. Went to school and went to Salem to become a barber. Come back to Lenore and got his own barber shop. $25,000 in the bank, a pocket full of cash, a townhouse in Hickory, a brand new SUV, Nissan, exterior, nice clothes, beautiful girlfriend, had everything in the world that a young man would want. Him and the girl broke up for some reason. They were going to get married. And the boy that barbered with him, he told him, he said, "Josh, I got something that'll help you. It'll calm you down a little bit. You're having a hard time." My boy shouldn't have done it. I'm not blaming it all on the other guy. But he gave him an oxycodone pain pill. And sure enough, it helped him a little bit, you know, calm down. Made him feel good. Next day, he gave him another one. Next day, another one. Come find out the boy was selling drugs on the side. Well, my boy's bipolar anyway. He's bipolar. He changed him into somebody we did not know anymore. We didn't know him. He's not the same boy that we raised in our home. Those things has got some kind of a demonic power about him. He never stole from us, not one time. I even showed him where my money was at in case he needed some. Never touched it one time. He lost that $25,000. His SUV, total lost it. His townhouse in Hickory. Lost his business. Couldn't cut hair anymore. And I started missing money. He started using words I'd never heard before. He got from that pain pill to meth. That stuff's wicked. It absolutely makes people mean. Meth, cocaine. And he tried to quit. We took him to rehab a couple times. You don't get over it in a week. 2 weeks ain't going to help you. It ain't going to help you. The only good thing I see coming out of what happened to my boy is he's in some place now. He's alive. He's still living. He's been locked up for 4 years. He's got 16 years left with a possibility of getting out on parole. But me and my wife talk about it. There's something good come out of it. He's alive. We had to call an ambulance one night to take him to the emergency room. They was going to put him on a ventilator. He's so far gone, the doctor thought he was going to die. One of his buddies said, "I saw him take so much drugs that it would kill a horse." He's a big old boy, 6'5", 285-pound weightlifter. We saw him go down to less than 200 pounds. That Wednesday evening, I had to go preach. After I picked that up, and I thought, how in the world am I going to preach? Tonight, my wife said, "Call a preacher. Call one of your friends." And I started looking through that book. I got some preachers' names, and I shut it. I said, "No, I'm going to go preach." I said, "If God's grace can't help me tonight, so I'll quit preaching about it." I just had a day. I went on to church, and so help me God, got in that pulpit with me and helped me. You know what my church did? I didn't know how they was going to feel about that. They got me and my wife and my older. Those women gathered around her, and those men got around me. And they said, "Preacher," after they found that out, they said, "Whatever you do, don't you think about quitting." I said, "You can't help what happened to that boy." I said, "Don't you think about quitting." I did think about just not quitting God, but just pastoring for a while. I said, I didn't know how they were going to feel about it. But that church stuck with me and my wife. They helped us. They prayed for us. You better thank God for your church. Don't backslide. What if I'd have quit? I wouldn't be here tonight getting a blessing from that square, getting to meet Brother Allen again. Boys, young boys and girls, somebody walk up to school, work, and offer you one of those pills, you better never put it in your mouth. Peer pressure will get you in trouble. I'm going to hurry on. Not only is there backsliding, there's backbiting. I'm talking about spiritual back problems. Romans 1:30, got a list of sins there. One of them is backbiting. Proverbs 25, verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain, so doeth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever said something about somebody behind their back that was a good person or a friend or something like that? You'd be talking to them and you're having good fellowship with them. They walk off and then another friend walks up and he sees you talking to this other fella, this other woman or something. And they say, they start saying something bad about them. Then you join in with them and you start backbiting. Now, some of you people may not have ever done that. But most people has. They'll be honest with you. Some people need to be exposed. There are some people that need to be told on. Paul said, be careful about Alexander the coppersmith. He done me much evil. There's a difference when you're warning people about a crook, somebody's going to hurt you, or just a friend, just somebody you know, and you join in with them and start saying something. A pastor friend of mine up in Lenore, preaching revival in another county. On a Friday night, going to the prayer room, had the door cracked. Before he opened it, he heard the preacher in there talking about him. He told his men, he said, if we can just get by tonight and get him out of here, I'll never have him back again. And he said some other things about him. That preacher said he turned around, walked back out into the congregation, sat down. He said, you don't know how I felt that night, trying to get up and preach after that preacher, supposed to be my friend, was talking about me in the prayer room to his men about me like that. But we got to be careful. That's spiritual back problems. Let me give you this one, backlogging. Now, what is backlogging? I guess there's some places that still do this. Timber cutters will cut down a big old tree, trim the limbs off, and they'd get that log in a river. And that log, they transport it down to another destination. There's a lot of times one of those logs would get crossed up into a rock, a narrow place, and it would turn sideways. And it would stop the rest of those logs from going down the river. They had men. It was a very dangerous occupation. That had these long iron steel rods that would walk on top of those other logs. Very dangerous. A lot of men got hurt and killed doing it. And they'd go over there where that log was stopping up the rest of those logs, and they'd pry and they'd push until they got that log turned where it would go down the river so the rest of those logs could go to their destination. What I'm saying, that's the way our prayer life is a lot of times. If we don't confess it, the rest of those sins are going to start clogging up, backing up, and we won't be able to pray. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 1, 59, and verse number 2. Said, your sins have separated between you and your God. that he will not hear you. He's hid his face from you. He said, his hand is not short that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and I will not hear you. If we don't confess daily, what are you going to do if you're in a car wreck? You're pinned in and the car catches on fire. What are you going to do if you get a phone call, one of your daughters, your son, your mom and dad's laying up there in a hospital, about ready to leave out of here because of a car wreck, a heart attack or something, and they call on you to come, and you want to pray and you can't pray because you've got so many sins backed up in your life. That's why we need to confess it daily. And then there's our back pressure. Back pressure. Numbers 11, verse number 14, Moses trying to lead God's people. And he prayed and he said, Lord, the load's too heavy for me. He said, I can't do it anymore. The load's just too heavy. Folks, we got to be careful that we don't let this back pressure, the problems that come along with life. We got to have a balance in our life about, especially preachers of pastoring. We got to spend time with our family. People's got to go to work and their job. They got to play ball once in a while with their boys. They got to take their children out for pleasure, their family and things like that. But they got bills coming in and all kind of things coming on them sometimes. If you're not careful, you'll get too much on you. There have been men before that had so much pressure on them. They got a big family. They'll just take a gun in, kill the mama and all the kids, and then kill themselves. All because of back pressure. I got a friend of mine and pulled out in the yard, Phil, one Sunday morning. Pastored big church out in Kentucky. And I bet Brother Allen would know him. He might already know who I'm talking about. Had a big church. Preached a lot of revivals. One Sunday morning, he left the house, left his cell phone, his billfold and all that. He'd never done that before. He pulled out there in the field, took a .357 pistol, stuck it into the roof of his mouth, blowed his brains out. Don't know exactly what all happened. All I know is the man had a lot of pressure on him. We got to be careful we don't get overloaded with the cares of this life. They build these big old trucks. They got a limitation on them. They'll tell you how much that truck will hold. You put too much on there and the axle's going to break. You're going to load it down. Elevators, you get on one, it'll tell you how much weight it'll hold. Our life is like that. And old Moses said, the load's too heavy for me. His father-in-law even told him one time, he said, you need some help. You need some help. You got too much on you. You see these ladies, especially Indians, carry that baby on their back because it's easier to bear that load on your back. And when your back gets broke down like this little lady we're preaching about, and I can't even get to the points I wanted to share with you with, you can't do anything when your back's out. You get too much pressure on you, you'll have a breakdown. Well, last of all, our background. I'm talking about spiritual back problems. Well, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind. I don't know exactly what all he was talking about, but we all know he put people in prison, probably killed some Christians. He'd done a lot of failures, probably a lot of mistakes like we do. Have you ever made a mistake? You ever had a failure in your life? You ever said something to somebody you wished you hadn't said? You ever told something you wished you hadn't told? Have you ever lost your temper out in a restaurant, said something to the waitress? You ever said something to your son, your daughter, something like that? We got to shut the door on our failures. We can't let our background destroy our future. And we can't let our past, I share with you my testimony, The Lord forgave me of that and forgot. But it's still in my mind a lot of times. I run into people sometimes. I said, oh, Lord. You know, sometimes I'll get to thinking about some things I did I wished I hadn't have done. And I catch myself wanting to go back and relive my life, but I cannot do that. But I said, Lord, you just help me to forget about that. Help me to go on with my life. Don't let it get me all bowed over where I can't do anything. Have you got some back pressure on you tonight? A lot of mental stress, a lot of problems at home maybe, or work, just tired, wore out. Why don't you come tonight and ask the Lord to lighten that load for you? Would you do that? Let's all stand to our feet. Let the song leader lead us. You go right ahead, brother. If you need to come to the altar, it's open.